This will be the first time I've stood in the last 4.5 years for any period of time. In 2015, in March, I had a stroke, and it's life-changing, as Dan can attest and Bob can attest. Stroke changes life. Earlier that week, or week before, I just I was president of the Home Builders Association, so we had put on a home show. I met the Curtin people on Thursday evening and went on up to Bromley Cove Baptist Camp where I was president. We had to replace her caretaker there and had the home show Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Had breakdown on Monday. Brenda's been through it. Kids been through it. But they then on Tuesday, a group of men from church went back up to Bromley Cove and did some work up there to get ready for the new caretaker. Ken and Jimmy and Jim and Walter and Greg. I can't remember anyone else, but we went up there and worked all day Tuesday, and Ken swam in the pond. they had to clean out. We had a fish kill up there, so they had to clean out the fish kill with my sons. Ken and my son cleaned out the fish kill, and we built decks on a trailer up there for the new caretaker, and it was just a busy time. The next day, my bride and I went over to Bromley Cove to another result of the stroke was crying a lot. So I cry a lot. Just get used to it. So anyway, Dorothy and I went over. We had to get something done there, and we spent the day together. And went back to work on Thursday, and I met my daughter and grandkids in Walmart parking lot. I wasn't feeling well. It started on Monday. It wasn't feeling well any of those days, but had a stroke on the way home. 1 mile from the house, my right side just went dead. Not tingling, it just went dead. So I changed to my left foot to drive on home. I got home and had to walk upstairs to get in the house, and I trudged up the stairs. When I got to the top of the stairs, Dorothy saw me just come in, and she said, "We're going to the hospital." She didn't know what it was. I couldn't talk. I still stumble with words now, as you can tell. But she said, "We're going to go to the hospital." I just nodded. It's all I could do. So she helped me back out the car, and Stephen, our son, came along behind, and he was frustrated, and I didn't know it till later. I got home, and there was a big dent in the garage door because he got mad and hit the garage door. So that's still there. So it didn't hit the garage door. But anyway, he got me to the hospital. About 4 hours, the main symptoms passed, and I thought I was fine. And I got out I stayed 2 nights. And the next day was my grandson's birthday. I couldn't make it. To his birthday party. I hated that, but then Dorothy and I thought, we had planned to go to Washington, D.C. that week to see Arlington National Cemetery and all the monuments. And since we couldn't go there, I asked if I could take a short trip to Pigeon Forge, and the doctor said yes. But on the third day after a stroke, your brain will swell. I was doing fine then, but we got down there, so my brain started swelling, and as I started having episodes, I'd walk, and 3 or 4 times a day, my right side would just be dead, and it would pass in about a minute, 3 or 4 times a day, and I went to the doctor several times over the next few months, and they just were at a loss. They said, "We can't find out what's wrong with you." They first said it may be many strokes, that type of thing. But they sent me to Wake Forest. When I was down in Wake Forest, the doctor saw me, and she gave me an old medicine that took care of it. In 3 days, I was better. I only had 4 or 5 episodes since that day. So then I couldn't go back to work for 2 months. And the doctor finally released me to drive and go back to work. And then the doctor, Wake Forest, said no driving at all. So my wife had to take me to work, and my son had to take me to work. I just worked half days. I mean, I worked 4 days a week. I'd work two and off one and work two. Anyway, then I got back to working full time about 9 months later. That's when I started driving after 9 months. And when you've been driving since you were 16, to be shut down when you're 58 is not a pleasant thing. Not at all. Hate to ask anybody to take me or anything like that, because they were very willing. My wife retired the previous May, but she says it's just take care of me is why she retired. Everybody wasn't it. She retired to take care of her mom, but her mom passed away before she could get retired completely. So then it ran along pretty well. And 2 years ago, in December, it's been a little over two and a half now, I had a collarbone fracture. I didn't know it for a month, but it was in a sling, and it was painful as all get out. And I finally got over that in July. Greg, he was up to Lowe's. I work at Lowe's, and he was up at Lowe's wanting a water heater, and I pulled the water heater back, snapped the collarbone again, fractured it. So, I went, filed workman's comp claim, and I blame it on Greg, but you forgive it, because the Lord used that to find cancer behind my collarbone. It's a plasmacytoma, in July I did it. I mean, in September, I fractured it again, but my radiation treatments were scheduled to start like the 15th, and I fractured it on the 5th. That they said, well, go ahead and do the radiation, try to get rid of that thing so you don't break it again. You know, three times the broken collarbone. It's painful. It's really painful for an old guy. So we've had some scares. I've been going to Wake Forest, and the blood flow on the left side of my head was started out at 40%. They checked it regularly. So then they went down to 33%. They wouldn't do anything until it got 30%. And then it went down to 23, and in a matter of 3 weeks, it went down to 8%. So I had a stent placed July 31st, and I couldn't have stood here and talked before I had a stent put in. I suggested to put a 2-inch coupling up there. Blood flow a lot better with 2-inch coupling, but it's amazing. I feel like a different person, really different person. And I want to read Daniel 4, which, if you don't mind, turn to Daniel 4 in your Bibles. Verse 27 through 38. I'm not a king, and I'm not implying that. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as my royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" And it says, the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdom of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." I'll stop there. When I had the stroke first, I couldn't stand a crowd, couldn't stand to be around a lot of people. I remember one Sunday, Dorothy was at church here, and I listened, you know, online to church service, and Stephen, my son, just helped me out on the porch. I laid in the porch swing. Just I didn't have the strength to get up and go or anything. I just laid in a porch swing. I drew so much strength from a church body, knowing that people were praying, knowing that there were those who were laboring for me. And like King Nebuchadnezzar, I feel like my sanity left me for a time. I still had my mind, but everything's changed. My daughter posted on Facebook, she was talking to someone. That person had a family member that had a stroke. She posted that dad had a stroke in 2015, and it has forever changed the course of our lives. It's life-changing, really. And but the point is, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was punished. He was punished by the Lord because he was so proud. We're talking this morning in Sunday school class about pride, about being too proud. So God doesn't like proud people. And I want to read Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. If you could turn there, please. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pens, and no cattle in the stalls, yet while I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Even He enables me to go on the heights. That's what the Lord's done for me. It's just incredible. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. I can walk much better. And the doctor acknowledged, you know, there's had to be two doctors doing the stent. It stents up in my head here. And it's very, very meticulous. And there's a high risk of having a stroke on the table. But she acknowledged that the Lord was in the room with her. I had a lot of prayer covered that day. I said I won't cry. I'm going to cry. Yeah. And one more verse, Joel 2:25, and I haven't said near what I wanted to say. But, oh well. Joel 2:25, this is a nation of Israel after they've been ravaged by drought and things like that. But he said, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. I feel, you know, I taught Sunday school here for a quarter century, literally 25 years, lacking 1 year. I took 1 year off between the singers' class and the men's class. And that was the most miserable year I had in my life. I was running around saying, you going to be gone this week? You going to be gone this week? I'll teach for you. Didn't matter which class it was. I wanted to teach because it made me study. It made me learn more about the Father. Learn more about Christ. And so I taught the men's class for some years. But all that to say that I've been out for 4.5 years. And unless the Lord strikes me down or something else happens, I hope to be busy, hope to do more ministry, hope to do, I never want to get as busy as I was before, because it, Ken says I had a talk to me sign on my head, flashed lights up here, and but I never want to be that busy, because sometimes you should be busy for busy's sake. But I hope to minister to the Lord, hope to be able to dig in and do more for Him. And Johnny and Ez, we don't have little crackers today. We don't have little big cups. We have bread. And that's another thing. I was supposed to have got this ready long before today, the communion elements. But I knew it. The stroke does that to you. But I had an unexpected meeting at Lowe's this morning. I just didn't know it till a little over a week ago. I've known this for 3 weeks. I didn't do it 3 weeks. I thought, well, we'll wait and get fresh bread. But and my wife had to go get it after Sunday school, Food City. So thank you, honey. So, but Johnny, yes, you wasn't in the loop, were you? So Todd and I are going to do communion in a few minutes. And it's by intinction. You take a piece of bread and you dip it in the juice rather than them coming to you and serving you. We'll make a round around the, go out that way and come here, I suppose. Is that right, Todd? I hope that my challenge would be that we understand who the Father is, and He can do great things. The song that Brenda played, He has done great things, and not only for me, but for many others. It's been a long 4.5 years. And Dorothy stood faithfully by me. All of you have, I want to thank you for that. But, Todd, that's all I'm going to say.